there's hot news happening, celebrity news, it really anything going on in the entertainment world, they're putting a bigger push on in the world of sports, really anything like that. These guys are in the middle of it, and specifically within that, this gentleman is in the middle of it because he is the co-executive producer of TMZ on TV. Charles Letaboutier joins us on the phone lines. Charles, it's a pleasure to have you on, sir. How are you tonight?
I am great. Thank you, Rick. I don't think I've ever gotten such a wonderful introduction,
not even
from my own family.
Oh,
I appreciate it.
We work to be very lavish on this show. I'm glad that that was the case. I'm glad that that was your appreciation, sir.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you on, and I guess I'll just start with a note that I mentioned in the introduction last week. I mean, because, again, you guys are 24/7. You're always breaking stuff. Here we are last week. We're having a discussion on all aspects of, you know, focusing maybe a little bit more on the basketball aspect of NBA free agency. But, again, our show is where nothing is off topic. So we're you know, open to going anywhere at any point in time. My senior producer emails me the information from you guys, the story that you broke on the gentleman who claims that he is LeBron's dad. I looked especially at picture four, and I said, damn, that guy's using some pretty good technology to fake this if he's not the real thing. But it's amazing. Amazing that you guys come up with stuff like this all the time. I mean, how do stories like that break? Do people tend to seek you out? I know you're beating the bushes.
Well, yeah, I mean, we definitely beat the bushes. I mean, we have an incredible room full of people here who really I'd like to say that there's a magic wand and you know, we get it done some magical way, but really all it is hard work. It's good old-fashioned journalism, and I got a room full of people who work the phone all day, and we get, you know, we get a lot of tips from people calling in, people emailing, and then we'll chase those things down, and the truth of the matter is 95% of those are, you know, all BS, but you never know, so we have to chase everything, and we usually end up, sometimes we find some gems, and then, you know, everybody has contacts that they're staying in touch with every day, and hoping, you know, when stories like this come up, that's how we get them first.
Well, you know, a good old-fashioned shoe leather there. You know, I'm a J-school grad myself. I can relate to that. That's what you have to do. Yeah, to be able to hustle out these things, and it's interesting because in speaking with your very wonderful publicist last night, we were talking about a few things, and she mentioned that, of course, things like that story I referenced last week, they show that, again, you guys have, all along have had something of a commitment to sports, but I understand that this whole TMZ sports division just is going to represent kind of an amplification, essentially, of what you're already doing, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Rick. I mean, it's, you know, sports has always been, you know, what we, TMZ at the outset was and is an entertainment news venture. And we all know that there's nothing more entertaining than sports. And, you know, sports superstars have become just as big as any movie or TV star out there or, you know, or musical act. You know, we always like to have the argument here. We'll take someone who's a huge sports star, and we usually stack it up against George Clooney. And we go, all right, if you're standing on the street here in L.A. and George Clooney's on one corner and Kobe Bryant's on the other corner, which, you know, who are more people going to go to? And the answer is, Clooney's like, I don't know, Clooney's a tough one, but against anybody else, and actually I actually think Kobe would stack up pretty well even against Clooney, because everybody feels like their sports stars are a little more accessible than, you know, your average movie star, that the sports star is going to actually say something to, is going to talk to you. So that's why we're putting a focus on sports stars now in the entertainment world. Now, I guess here's an interesting one in Cleveland. If LeBron's standing on one corner and George Clooney's standing on the other corner, where is everybody going this week?
Well, I'll tell you what, if LeBron is standing on a corner, I want to be the guy who's got a produce stand on the next corner right there, you know?
With a stand full of rotten apples?
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you. And you know something? I'll tell you what. Here's where you're going to want to deploy some peeps. I cannot believe this, but he's planning on going ahead with his annual bike quote-unquote charity thing that he does in Akron every year in August. That is going to be a that's got train wreck written all over it, Charles.
Well, you're right, and we're definitely going to have some intel on the ground there. But I was going to ask you, like, what is? I mean, obviously, I've heard and seen what the reaction is in Cleveland, but in his, you know, his home city in Akron, how do they feel? I mean, is he getting a little more? Are they giving him a pass there?
No, they're not, and I'll tell you why, Charles. I've always known this about him. I didn't know he was as delusional in this. He makes a distinction that is entirely artificial. I'm from Akron, not from Cleveland. You know, he's got the 330, area code tattooed
well,
on him. Nobody
I
here
think
makes
that's
that
ridiculous.
Distinction. Nobody nationally does, Charles. I mean, I'll bet you don't make that distinction, do you?
No, I mean, obviously, I would never make that distinction, and I think you're right. That does show a level of delusion that he's just trying to convince himself that this is all going to blow over and it'll be okay. I got to tell you, I was looking up the other day, and someone came by my desk, and we were talking about LeBron and things to look for on the horizon. Is this NBA schedule out yet? Do we know when the Heat's coming to play in Cleveland?
No, we don't. I mean, there's two schools of thought on that. I tend to think if David Stern could have that be at 3 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, he'd do it. Because it's a black eye for the league. Everybody looks at it like, oh, look
it
at
really it. It really is.
David Stern understands diminishing returns, and I think that's probably – you see that in the celebrity world too, I think. You know, sometimes people are smart enough to say this is diminishing returns at this point in time. Only bad things can come of this.
Yeah, we have a few people. We have a few people like that currently that we're covering right now in Hollywood. But you know, now I actually had this question about LeBron. I know everybody said, and I agree that the way he did this show and that it's very egotistical, and everybody's really getting all over him for that. If he had at the end of the show, if he had said he's staying in Cleveland, would everybody still feel like? Would everyone still be giving him, crap, saying that this guy's a big egomaniac, can't believe he did this whole show? Or do you think that was just a – to me, that feels like that's just – it was another reason to pile on.
I think so. I don't think – he wouldn't have been back to 100% of what he was before this happened in Cleveland. People don't necessarily believe me, but here's part of it, too. We in town were blackmailed into not – talking about Game 5 and the very shameful performance in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He signs that contract. All of a sudden, there's a little bit of questioning that comes in there, a little bit of accountability, and apparently he's allergic to accountability. The biggest thing, and I'll tell you this, I don't see this being discussed anywhere, it's that he ran this, as I said in the last segment, it was like Tony Soprano running a bust-out operation for the last 7 years. He had the run of this place. He dictated things. His boys were in the front office. Media and team people were displaced off of team flights to make room for his entourage, which is basically three guys named Turtle, essentially, even though they pretty themselves up like they're something more than bag carriers. But essentially, they're all turtles. And it's just we're bitter about that. We're bitter that he took and took and took. And there was always the implicit thing that, I'm sticking around. It's the Tony Soprano thing. He left after he took and, said goodbye. I don't put stock
in
the local
boy thing. I like that analogy. I got to tell you, I was a bit bitter myself. Now, I'm originally from New York, and last week I was on vacation, and my fellow co-executive producer here, Evan Rosenblum, kept texting me while I was on vacation saying, here's the latest on LeBron. New York still got a chance. Cleveland's in the running, but now it sounds like Miami's in the lead. And I just kept saying, I was like, you're going to ruin my vacation. I'm not going to look at this thing. I'm not going to look at it. And I desperately wanted him to go to New York, of course. And I told myself I wouldn't watch it, but of course, sure enough, I guess it was 5 o'clock, no, 7 o'clock where I was. And I sat down in front of a TV. I was at dinner with my wife, and I said, I'm sorry, I just got to go into the bar for a second. And I stood in there and watched it. But, it was definitely a huge circus. And that's, look, we're used to the Lindsay Lohans and the Paris Hiltons and now the Mel Gibsons of the world. So those kinds of media circus things, we're used to that. Mm-hmm. But this one was right up there.
Well, you've anticipated my next question perfectly, Charles, because, again, you know, in terms of Lindsey and now with the last couple of years with everything with Gibson and everything like that, there are certain folks that you guys deal with that really are, you know, the gift that keeps on giving. You know, some other stories may come and go, Bristol Palin and whatnot, but there's some that are just hardy perennials, are they not?
There definitely are. There definitely are a few that I think a few of us owe our mortgages and our car payments a little bit of. We can say that maybe Lindsey helped me pay for that. Look, there's a huge amount of public interest in these people, and we know that that's why we put these things on the site and. And that's why we talk about them on the TV show, and that's why we get them out at restaurants. So, there's a huge appetite for it. And I'm telling you, some of the things we've had the biggest reactions about, though, lately, I mean, aside from, look, you don't get a Mel Gibson-level story or a Lindsay Lohan going to jail. Those don't come up every week. But what we have found is we are bumping into these, you know, sports superstars just as much. In fact, it feels to me like it's like they've had enough and they said, you know what, why should the Lindsay Lohans and Paris Hiltons and the Kim Kardashians of the world get all the attention? We're going to get some of it too. You have T.O. doing a reality show. You have, actually, someone told me, who was it, that Keyshawn Johnson had a reality show that I guess has come and gone. I didn't even know that was on. I mean, everybody, all these sports people want a piece of the pie now when it comes to big time entertainment. So what's happening here in Hollywood and in, you know, New York and Miami and wherever we have cameras, they're going out to spots where they know our cameras are going to find them.
Interesting.
And they want to play it up for the camera and they want to get some attention and show everybody, hey, look, I'm cool, I'm accessible. And if they're willing to play the game, we definitely want to, you know, have some fun with them. We got some great video last week. Actually, it might have been 2 weeks ago now with T.O., who is a really interesting guy. Aside from being unemployed at the moment, probably being the most talented unemployed athlete in the country right now. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, you know, you'll bump into him and he's very surly and he just doesn't want to talk. And that's fine because we know that none of these celebrities have any obligation to speak to our camera guys, and they all know, you know, we're very respectful, and if they don't want to talk, we say, move along, you know, we'll talk to you next time. But we got T.O. out one night, and I don't know if he had been out at a club and having fun or what it was, but he was ready to put on a show, and he walked out of a club, and we were talking to him. Our camera guy said, so, you know, what do you think it's going to take for someone to sign you? How come nobody stepped up yet? And T.O. said, I don't know. I don't know what the problem is, you know. Do you know anybody else who can do this? And standing 1 foot in front of a, you know, a newspaper rack, he just did a standing jump right up, probably, I don't know, 4.5, maybe more than that feet, right on top of this newspaper stand. And then jumped back off, and just stuck the landing. It's like, those are the kind of moments that you get when you're walking around in Hollywood, around, let's say, closing time, and it's great entertainment, and we're looking forward to seeing more celebrities joining the fray.
Oh, sure,
and,
sure.
Sports celebrities, that is, joining the fray.
It's just going to lead to, again, diversification of your content as you're able to start providing that more so, but it's always just amazing to me in terms of the show that you guys have, whether it be the daily one or what runs on the weekends, but, I mean, the amount of material that you guys are able to generate every day, I mean, I haven't been in that business, but it's just, looking at it from the outside, I'd just be terrified of waking up one day and going, what if nobody does anything stupid today or seeks out our cameras or whatever?
Well, I mean, I got to tell you, Rick, we go through that every morning. We walk in, and myself and Harvey and Evan, we meet first thing in the morning, and we go, you know, before we have our meeting, which you see on TV, we have a quick meeting. We talk about what's the thing that we want to start the show with. And it is a little scary because we're driving in, and we don't know what we got the night before. And I got to tell you, you know, we've never had a day, obviously, where we didn't have enough to fill the show. And actually, quite the opposite. Most days, there's about anywhere from 4 to 8 minutes of material that gets left on the cutting room floor. I mean, we edit a lot of things in the morning, and then we watch everything, and we figure out, all right, what's going to be, what's best for the show, what's going to be funniest, and what's, you know, more timely today that we have to get in. And there's a lot of material that we end up leaving on the cutting room floor.
Oh, this is
so
this is great
we've been blessed
stuff.
That, you know, there's we, not only is there plenty going on in town, so that our camera guys can get footage, but we've got a great room of people here who, you know, we've really meshed well and can take something that probably isn't all that interesting just on its own if you look at the raw tape.
Uh-huh.
But the discussion in the room and the, you know, the take that everybody bring, you know, their personal opinions and the take that we bring, that we put on that video, suddenly makes it really entertaining, makes it really funny. You know, if you just have somebody walking out of a restaurant, it may not seem like much, but one person in the room here will see something in it that they find really funny. They'll say something, and then somebody else in the room says something about that, and, you know, suddenly everybody's laughing. So it's the formula's worked for us to this point, and we're really, really happy about it.
Yeah, it's tremendous. I mean, and this is great stuff that you're giving us here, because we always love on this show, whatever realm of life we're talking about, when we can kind of get to explore the process and give people a look behind the curtain, you know, because that's the way that my mind works. I'm watching this show, and I'm just thinking about everything that must go into it, and I'm just amazed, because we're in a 24/7 world. And yet, every time I see what's on there, it seems like you guys are just right in the middle of something really, really, really timely. I want to give you a chance, before we wrap here, Charles, please just plug anything that's going on with TMZ, TMZ on TV, anything that you've got going on that you want to promote.
Well, I want to tell you the one thing I want to say about TMZ Sports. You know, look, we obviously want to get sports celebrities, you know, video of them and have them, you know, act the fool if that's what they're doing that night. That's great. But we're also, I mean, we're breaking a lot of big stories in the sports world that, you know, aren't based on video or photos, but are just good old-fashioned journalism. I mean, you know, you talked about the LeBron's alleged father, that story, but as well as the Ben Roethlisberger story, and we know what a huge drama that was. That's a story that we broke here. And some of the stories that I've found really that get the most traffic, anything about college basketball or college football, those stories have gotten a ton of traffic for us. And we did one a couple weeks ago about the University of Kentucky and a few of their players that were being probed by the NCAA. And that got a ton of traffic for us. So, like I said, I've got a room full of people who are working the phones and getting information first about, you know, the biggest sports programs, be it professional or college, and we're going to break those stories as well. And, you know, just like the regular site, it's a mix of those, you know, hardcore journalism stories as well as the fun stuff with videos and photos. You know, I don't know, this probably didn't play as big for you guys back east, but out here when the whole USC investigation finally came out with the NCAA, that was a huge story here in LA, of course. And I loved, you know, we did the story that was the hard news about USC being busted by the NCAA and the sanctions and the games that were taken away from them. And then the next day, there was a photo that one of the players had taken. Their locker room in the USC football program, their locker room was underwater because a water pipe had busted.
Wow.
And I just felt like that is the perfect follow-up to the story we did yesterday. And I was like, get that up immediately. And that got a huge amount of traffic because it was just there was this image that was a perfect metaphor for what was going on with the program.
Well,
and it couldn't have been better timed.
You guys capture all of that stuff perfectly. Charles, we had a great time with you here tonight. We'd love to have you back on. Thank you so much, sir.
Would love to come on anytime, Rick. I appreciate it.
We appreciate it so much. TMZ on TV, co-executive producer Charles Latabutier. Thank you so much, sir.
Okay, Rick. You take care.
Have a great night.
Take
care. Bye. All right. Our next guest, we only have a limited time span with him. We will make it count. I will just say right off the bat in passing to make it timely for the show here tonight to tie it into these things, a native son from the greater Cleveland area, originally, by way of Amherst, who we can always call the king. Not a fake king like King James, the one and only king, Jerry the King Lawler. Our pleasure to welcome you to the FBH Lounge. King, it's good to have you on tonight, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
I'm going to see if I can get to a little quieter spot here. I'm actually down in my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee. We're about to tape our Jerry Lawler's Memphis Wrestling Show for this coming Saturday, but we're doing it here on Wednesday night tonight. So, how are you guys?
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on, and something I'd like to ask you about, just to tie back on the Cleveland angle here. One of the things that I remember in particular in terms of your ties to Cleveland, this had to be very painful for you. SummerSlam 96, having to come out in the Ravens jersey to get some heat. I know there are some things you've had to do over the years to get some heat. Where does that rate on the pain scale for you?
Well, that would have to be at the very top, because you're right. A lot of times, in wrestling, we do things to intentionally anger the fans, and it's simply for one good reason. You know, in wrestling, we don't have the home field advantage. Like, you know, everybody in Cleveland loves the Browns, and whatever team comes to town, that's who you boo, whether it's the Ravens or the Steelers or Cincinnati. It's not that those are bad guys. It's just that, you know, we like our hometown favorites. Well, in wrestling, you know, the wrestlers are from all over the country. They don't have that home team advantage. So you have to do some outlandish things sometimes to make people mad at you, because you can't be in that gray area. You either want them to love you or hate you, because if they don't really care about you, they're not going to come to see you. So, yeah, I was asked to, right after the move of the Browns, I was asked to wear a Ravens jersey out to the ring, and I reluctantly agreed, and it was it angered everybody. It even angered me. It made me mad at me.
You are a good soldier, King, no question about it. Well, I want to ask you, because what you're doing with the show here tonight, you're really going back to your roots in Memphis with where you came up through the business. But something that occurred to me as somebody, I'm somebody that grew up on the After Mags back in the day, and really before cable television, that was how you got exposure across the country. I look at you, I look at Ric Flair, and I think you guys are the only ones in the history of the business to have continuously been in the spotlight all of these years. It really is just amazing how much you've been through. Your roles have changed and everything. You're going a little bit back to your roots with the Memphis thing here tonight. Do you ever reflect on the ride that you've been on and so many different things and so many different roles that you've played?
Oh, of course I do, and it has been a heck of a ride. I mean, literally almost 40 years in this business. I don't know if even Ric Flair can say that they're, you know, still in, still relevant, if you will. You know, still playing a major part. You know, being the host of Monday Night Raw, jumping in the ring, getting out. You know, I just wrestled Edge here in Memphis at a big sold out show in our FedEx Forum just 2 weeks ago. So, you know, for somebody that started wrestling in 1970 to still be wrestling in 2010, I do reflect on it. I'm quite frankly amazed at it sometimes, you know, but I've been real fortunate over the years. I've never had a major injury that would cut my career short, and I think that, yeah, I actually give Bill After a lot of credit. You mentioned the After magazines. Bill After, being a close personal friend of mine, he did a lot to keep me out there, to keep my face out there, and have me known, like you said, when most wrestlers were just known regionally around the country before cable or satellite TV, it was hard to get known in another part of the country when you wrestled mainly in Memphis, Tennessee. But my friend Bill After did that, and I'm eternally grateful to him. And then, believe it or not, a lot of people don't realize that Bill After was the guy who was responsible for hooking me up with Andy Kaufman.
Oh, right.
And that was, that thing, the match I had with Andy Kaufman, really put me on the map, not just nationally, but worldwide. And that was something that you just didn't get done back then. You didn't get national publicity in the early 80s if you were a wrestler. But suddenly here was a guy from Memphis, Tennessee, on the David Letterman show on Saturday Night Live and then headlining newspapers all over the country with a major Hollywood movie star.
It really was amazing. No, that's right. And I remember reading about that from your book, which I have here. It's Good to Be the King Sometimes, Jerry the King Lawler. I know you've got to get going. I'll just ask you one more question about the promotion that you're with here tonight. It's very interesting that off of your website, which we have linked to off of our blog here tonight, kingjerrylawler.com, folks can watch episodes of that. This differentiates it from when you were coming up in the territories, like you said earlier, people could only follow you nationally through through the Apter Mags and their competitors. Is this something where, as you go forward with this promotion, where there could be some growth potentially even beyond the borders of Memphis, the fact that any of us anywhere can watch this?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, that's we love it. We have a bunch of young guys down here, and that are really have a lot of talent. We have a beautiful young lady I'm standing here next to right now, named Sue Young, who just looks like she's going to get a WWE developmental deal. We have Tommy Mercer here, who's probably got a WWE developmental deal, a young man named Matt Boyce. And these people can be seen now, like you said, all around the world through my website, kingjerrylawler.com. And so it's something that is available now through the technology that we only dreamed about having something like that when I started in the 70s.
It really is amazing, and it's great to be able to watch on there, and I'm sure it's going to be a great show here tonight, King, and I feel like we just kind of hit the tip of the iceberg with you. You've done so much, been through so much. We'd love to have you back on, sir, and talk with you some more about your ongoing projects and everything you've got going on.
Are you kidding? I can't wait to come back on. You know, I was just, I always look forward to my visits in Cleveland. I just wrestled for Cleveland All-Star Wrestling up there this past Friday night. And of course, it was the day after LeBron had left town, and I grabbed a copy of The Plain Dealer with his picture on the front page, and everybody was in kind of a funk and a bad mood. But man, I'm telling you, I'm the biggest Cleveland sports fan going, and I'm there with the Indians. I mean, I'm sitting, you know, a lot of people say, you know what, these guys, the WWE superstars, wonder what they're doing on their days off. Well, I'm sitting watching Sports Time Ohio and watching the Indians every single night, and then somehow at the end of the night I say, oh no, just wasted another 3.5 hours of my life. It blew the game in the bottom of the night. You know, it's just it's been a tough struggle. But hey, once you're a Cleveland fan, I mean, all I can tell you, people in Cleveland, sometimes you have a tendency to maybe get down on your team. Just think if you lived. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a great city. I love it here. But just think if you've lived in Memphis, Tennessee. We have no professional sports. So just, I mean, you know, you don't, sometimes you don't realize what you have until it's gone, like when Art Modell hauled the Browns out of town there for a while. But, you know, I support the Browns, the Indians, the Cavs, no matter what. Win or lose, I'm there, man.
Well, King, Rudy Gay's actually better than anybody we have on the Cavs right now. But, you know, be that as it may, you said in your book about not being a drinker. I can't believe watching all those Indians games hasn't driven you to that. You're a strong man and one of the greatest professionals.
I've never, you know, it's funny, a lot of people, maybe just that I'm kind of square, but a lot of people don't believe this, but in my entire life, I've never even tasted alcohol, not even one sip or not one swallow of beer, wine, whiskey, no alcohol, never touched a cigarette, no drugs whatsoever. I've just, but I cannot tell you how many nights through the 70s and through the 80s, Pete Franklin, guys, that I would be driving from a town. Thank God Cleveland had that Clear Channel radio station that the Indians were on. I can't tell you how many nights that I would be driving home from some city that I wrestled in, like Louisville, Kentucky, or Evansville, Indiana, trying to get back to Nashville or Memphis. That, man, listening to the Indians kept me awake and maybe kept me alive on these trips home.
AM radio is a great thing. I'm such a mark. I used to drive in my car just to be able to pick up 750 to listen to Jim Ross when he used to do his show on there on Sunday nights. AM radio is a great thing. But
it is the Cleveland AM radio has been great to me over the years.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on, King. Best of luck with the show here tonight, with everything you got going on in Raw, all right, and everything. And we hope to have you back sometime. Thank you so much.
I want to come back just as soon as possible, guys. And thanks for having me.
We'll do it. Thank you very much, Jerry the King Lawler. Everybody, the one and only, the legend.